Oh, my dear brother Paul, brother Michael and Lisa here.
Hey, Paul.
We just finished listening to your message. What a precious message. What an honor that you would share your heart in your suffering and your struggle. I believe the Lord, as Romans 8:28, had your message already in my heart. You know, the Lord rarely has things like this happen to me without there being a meaning or a guidance or direction in it. And I just want to share a few things with you about that. And first of all, just tell you that, brother, I love you, and I'm so sorry that you're hurting like you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lisa and I just felt such compassion listening to your message. I just want you to know that we feel your pain and we want to help. I just want you to know that we would definitely want to encourage you, and we want you to know you're not alone in this. I will tell you point blank, what I hear is a true Christian having a true biblical Christian experience. The scripture, as you know, speaks repeatedly, no matter how much we don't want to see it, no matter how much false teaching has put us to sleep or religiously brainwashed us into not believing it and seeing it, the scripture and the cross-carrying, self-denying, world-hating, faith-walking life is a life of suffering. And it is alive, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for those of us who are alive, to be repeatedly given over to death for the sake of Jesus, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. And brother, this life, the truth about this Christian life, is that this whole thing is a wilderness journey from beginning to end in this life. And we get a few Mark 8, 2 and 8, 3, good meals along the way to keep us from collapsing on our way home. Brother, the Lord showed me that, if you will, story that he actually had is like a parable or a picture or an illustration in the natural of something that actually happens in the supernatural, that God knows that some of us have been with him a long time. That's what it says in Mark 8, 3. Jesus Christ saw the people. Jesus Christ had compassion on them because he said, these people have been with me for a long time and they've had no food and they're hungry and I'm afraid they may collapse on the way home. For some of them have come a long way. And the Lord showed me that that is his, if you will, method of operation as our master. That's how he sees this life. It's not us ever getting to a place where we take a big, deep breath and we find a permanent rest here. God, as you can imagine, is working in our circumstances to keep us sojourners, to keep us pilgrims. And in order to do so, he has to continually make this world by orchestrating through his sovereign control circumstances in our life that constantly remind us, this is a wilderness. There are snakes. There are scorpions. There are 42 different sand dunes that we have to be moved around to, if you will, that look exactly like the one that we just left. There's a discomfort. There's an uncertainty. There's a difficulty in planting roots because God honestly doesn't really want us to plant roots here in any way spiritually. Sometimes he gives in to the fact that we have to have a place to live. But the scriptures are so replete that we are to live as Abraham did, who made his home in the promised land by faith, living in tents as an alien and a stranger. And the scripture calls us to be aliens and strangers in this world. But then, when we start having these experiences and our life does start to look like a wilderness from beginning to end, with difficulties and snakes and scorpions and dry arid places and these same, you know, mundane Groundhog Day sand dune experience after sand dune experience, we start to get really frustrated. And we start to get mad at God. And it's because number one, our sinful nature has no other default desire than to have comfort and pleasure and ease in this life. And then we have the false teaching of the Western Church putting so much emphasis on the loving side of God and the blessing side of God, and how everything, if we obey, is supposed to go well. And if we have enough faith, all of our diseases, infirmities, and sicknesses are supposed to go away. Brother, that's never been the case once Jesus left. There's a few instances where Jesus himself healed every sickness, but it hasn't been the time since shortly after Pentecost when he left and he turned it over to the disciples, where for a time it was like that. But even then, look at all the suffering they had. I mean, chased out of their homes, considered criminals by the local governments, you know, having to lose everything, so poor they can't even afford to give money to a poor person, Peter in Acts, etc. But all throughout Christian history, we see the best of the best suffering repeatedly, whether it's some infirmity, some sickness, some terrible false accusation, some losing of the family, some difficulty. It's over and over and over again. Man, I've immersed myself in this. This is the true Christianity. You cannot find anyone worth their salt in the name of Jesus Christ who hasn't suffered repeatedly, fully, constantly, from ding to dong, all the way to the end, all the way through, and they were kept by faith, and they had a few good things to keep them from collapsing meals along the way. I don't like hearing this. Lisa doesn't like hearing this.
Nope.
No person likes hearing this. But this is what the Bible says is true of being a Christ follower, that he is supposed to afflict us in this life. Philippians 1:29, we're sharing in. Not only has it been granted to us to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for him. And we shouldn't be surprised when this difficult, strange suffering comes upon us. And so often we are. We're totally shocked. We're totally surprised. I'm raising both hands.
Or we have these expectations, or like me, where you think, okay, I've suffered for all these years in a row. Surely it's now
time
for God to bless me. And it's like when God put Michael and I together, I'd gone through, I think it was 5 years of isolation and God training me and drawing me close to him. And then when he put Michael and I together, I thought, this is it. This is the end of all my suffering. And it wasn't just those 5 years. That was from the time of the divorce until when God put us together. But I'd had suffering for years and years and years within my first marriage. And so I just assumed that this was it, that God was now going to bless us and we were going to live a quiet and peaceful sort of life. And it was anything but. And so, you know, it's been 3.5 years now, and yet I think each year we've sort of had our thoughts on, okay, is this going to be the year that God delivers us? And so I would probably, you know, hold on to these hopes and thinking, okay, possibly God might do it next month or what have you, and then the month would come and go, and then you'd be back being disappointed. And it was just like the more disappointments, the more angry I got with the Lord, and it was also just the exhaustion of it being so drawn out, and not seeing a lot of reprieve. So it was to do a lot with our expectations, huh?
It is. The thing is we have a promise from God, but then we begin to project our hope for the timing of that promise to come to fulfillment, and our timing is unequivocally never God's timing. It's never his timing. So we end up by putting timing on things, even in the face of a promise. Like, a lot of people are hoping for things that they don't actually have a promise from, but God, as we see and teach, he extends things way out. Yeah. And so, yeah, you end up becoming disillusioned, disappointed, exhausted, and you know, Lisa had some times in Cocoa Beach. Brother, we had the worst time for Lisa at the end. We were so blessed in the beginning, and then we had the worst time where I had to really rebuke her sharply. I had to walk out of the room on her one time and go to the beach and just pray, because she was saying things that were almost borderline blasphemous, and she stepped into anger and unbelief. It was just overwhelming for her, and it just kept building up and building up and building up. And I had to say to her, you know, one time I said, look, if you're going to walk in unbelief and grumbling and complaining against God, you're going to do so alone, because you're going to do it without me. I wasn't threatening her with divorce. It wasn't that bad. It was just that I'm out of here on this. I'm going to leave. You can do this. And, you know, I fight hard against unbelief.
But you weren't going to be dragged into it.
But I was not going to allow my wife, who I love so much, to pull me into that. And I am to treat her as the weaker vessel, and she's been through a lot, and she hasn't seen as many years as I have of God's consistent, undeniable, unfailing promises and faithfulness. And
I still from time to time have my days. Like, I'm nothing like I was in Cocoa Beach,
right,
where I was starting to doubt my salvation. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I'm born again. But
because she saw this rotten fruit coming out of,
and I knew it was wrong,
anger,
and I knew it was sin.
Yeah,
I just couldn't help it. It's just how I felt,
right.
And I was just living based off feelings every day. And you know, since I've been back here in America, being the fourth time with Michael, I sometimes have my days. I've had a couple or a few since I've been here the last 4-5 months. And it's a struggle. And again, I think I just feel really tired and exhausted. And I think you're just constantly hoping that any day now you're going to be blessed. And when that any day now doesn't come, you have these days where it's just like you just feel doom and gloom, really. Just no hope. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick.
Correct. It does. But it's only those who hold firm to their hope all the way to the end who will be saved.
Yeah.
You know, the love of most will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. We are by this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly. You see, there's all these, you must be an overcomer.
Yeah.
Paul, so the scripture warns us that faith is not easy and that it will be royally tested. And Jesus says to all seven of the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, you must be an overcomer. You must remain faithful, doing my will to the end. You must be faithful even to the point of death. You must be faithful, never letting anyone take away your crown. You must be faithful to hold firmly so that you do not lose your reward. Then I will give you the right to eat from the tree of life. So what does the last words of the risen Jesus Christ say to us? He says it twice in Revelation. This calls for patient endurance and perseverance on the part of the saints.
And just before we made this recording to you, I was talking to Michael about how, because lately he's been working on the timeline of the history of the ministry.
The history of the ministry. I'm creating an interactive kind of timeline that tries to show about 100 major events in my story where you can quickly see a picture, you know, and see the event.
Yeah. And so it's sort of like a big ongoing lengthy testimony of everything that God has brought him through or led him into, and then
if you get a chance, Paul, if you get a chance, Paul, go to the website. It's still under construction, but you can see the first 50 events or so, they're finished. But go to the website and click on About and then the history.
Yeah. And what I think is incredible and so encouraging for even people like myself when I have my days when I struggle is that, you know, if you look back on everything that Michael went through, you know, as tough as what it was, and it was just onslaught after onslaught. And you wonder how he even got to the place he's at now with everything that he's been through, all the pain and the suffering. But when you look from the start and as you make your way through the timeline, you can quickly say, oh my gosh, I can see why God did this in Michael's life. I can see why he stripped him of this. I can see why he you know, led him away from this or led him into this or denied him of that, or just every circumstance that he went through, you can see why God did that for where he's standing today and for what he has today and for the person he is today and for how God uses him today. And it's like none of it was by accident. But as you're going through that in your own life, when you're going through your own trials and sufferings, you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's just all darkness. Nothing makes sense. And you're just left, like I am sometimes, questioning and saying, why, Lord, why? You know, this doesn't make any sense. But because you can see his all laid out, you know, on the webpage in a timeline, you can quickly see that God was in control of everything, that there was a reason for everything. And as soon as you start to realize that, you can feel that comfort, you know, over your own, you know, trials in your own life where you're questioning God. And so after that, it's sort of like, okay, Lord, I can't see any way out of this and I don't know where you're headed and I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you and I know that there's a reason for this. So for me, there's comfort.
And in between, it's always an issue of faith.
Yeah.
I'm working on this timeline and I'm going back into my old recordings, and it's these recordings from back in 2013 where it says the darkest time I've ever faced in my Christianity. And then you go to the next month and the heading says it's gotten even darker. Mm. And it just goes on and on. How much worse can things get? And I get to this point where I have this, the cost if you quit message that comes to me, because I said, Lord, I'm done. I can't keep doing this. I'm suffering so bad. I want out of this. And I remember I sat down on the side of this road in this rich neighborhood, sat down on this little stone wall. I sat there and I was like, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to quit and give up. Lord, I can't keep doing this anymore. Not, you know, working and getting further and further behind on child support. And, you know, 2 years of hard work and I've got 115 subscribers. And I just found out today from these recordings, I only earned $600 in my first year in donations. It's not worth it. I can't keep doing this. All of my friends and family are turning against me. I can't keep doing it. And that's the day the Lord says to me, you have no idea the cost if you quit. That if you persevere on your cross, you will shame it. If you quit on your cross, it will shame you. And I heard that message and it evoked such life and such hope to keep going and put the fear of God in me. And I knew that the Lord was saying I wouldn't understand the cost to other people, not just to me, if I quit. I mean, had I quit that day, Lisa wouldn't be sitting here right now. You wouldn't have had anybody to send a message to. You follow me? It was that big of a deal. And so repeatedly in my life, through all the suffering, it's always been about you continue to persevere no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you hear, no matter what your senses are telling you, no matter what other people are telling you, you continue to persevere. That is the lesson of the ministry that Michael Criswell has been given. Is it's a ministry of perseverance. Mm. I mean, do you not think that God was so wise in inspiring me to name it Relentless Heart way before I ever knew how relentless I was going to have to be?
Mm, yeah, it's incredible.
So I want to just tell you a little story about what's happened to Lisa and I recently as a way of encouraging you to know that your Heavenly Father, sovereign over all people, all spirits, all animals, all circumstances, events, outcomes, and time, your Father, my Father, I want to remind you, the same Father who has hurt me as much as he has, who's hurt Lisa as much as he have, intentionally hurting us to make us more like Christ, to loosen us from this world, to cause us to cast our gaze up to the heavens, to where our help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth, to fix our hope fully on the grace to be given us when Christ Jesus is revealed, to teach us to quit thinking that we're ever going to find real rest down here.
Mm.
Okay. Brother, do not give up on this God. You are to suffer in this life. It will all be worth it. Samuel Rutherford said, if a man won't suffer 40 years in this life, he's not worthy to be a part of the bride. And, you know, he never, ever in any of his letters gave any hope for the circumstances to change in this life. His emphasis was always on getting through this life to the life to come. Just remember that. Brother, let's just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will provide some sweet fellowship for Paul and Helen.
Yes, Lord.
God, that they can be encouraged and love one another with others, and that they can be mutually edified in their faith and lifted up, not feeling alone. Please, Father, open this door in Jesus' name and help all of us. Father, we're all so isolated and alone. If you are, Lord, willing, we love you, Jesus Christ. Mm. Please bless my brother. Help him to stay strong, willing to endure to the end, suffering, trusting you, the sovereign God. Let him place his sincere heart before you, Lord, knowing that you can correct him, you can instruct him, you can help him to see his blind spots, but reminding him that so much of this Christian life is about perseverance. Mm. So much is about persevering, and then the tests get more and more difficult as time goes on. I think of that message I heard by your servant David Wilkerson, where he talked about his wife having 28 surgeries and his children, two of them having cancer, and then him dying in a car accident. And knowing how difficult and how dark it was for him towards the last year or two of his life, how painful, and how his message was, does there ever come a time when God stops testing a servant? And he was recalling the sufferings of the apostle Paul, from one thing to another, to another, to another. Lord, you call us to suffer. Help us to suffer well by enabling us in your grace. Help us, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
And keep giving us some good meals, Lord, to keep us from collapsing along the way home. You are able to make us stand firm. Tempted in every way. Able to identify with those who are tempted in our weakness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening my brother and sister in Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Please, Lord, help them to put their eyes back on you and keep their eyes back on you. Help them to fight the good fight of faith, to stay violent and stubborn against unbelief. As I've been telling my wife, the need is to violently oppose unbelief, violently oppose discouragement, violently oppose anything that takes our eyes off of you, and to remember all that you have done.
Yes, Lord.
Paul, remember all that the Lord has done for you guys. Remember how he provided for you. Remember how he got you there. He has not left you nor forsaken you. Brother, he's testing your faith. He's loosening you even more from this world. And he's making the pot of heaven so much sweeter when you get there. It's going to be so much sweeter when we get there, because we suffered so much here in this bitter land. There will indeed be a sweetness, because we've all been delivered from the wilderness. Not from bliss, not from prosperity land. God in heaven, please, Father, bless and strengthen them, Lord, to hold on in faith.
Yes, Lord.
To not allow Satan to rob them of life in you. Please, Father, in Jesus' name, help them to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, my Lord, for hearing my prayers. Thank you for strengthening my brother and sister. Thank you for blessing and encouraging all of us, Lord. I'm blessed that he sent this message to us today, and I know Lisa is as well. We love you and we praise you, Father in heaven. Lord Jesus Christ, how we praise you. Thank you for strengthening my brother even now, Lord. Thank you for strengthening his faith, placing some hands underneath of him so he knows he's going to be okay. Holding him up, Lord. Putting your hands underneath of his arms, lifting him up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening him now by your Spirit, lifting him up. Oh, thank you. Oh, brother, I just saw the most beautiful picture. I just saw the most beautiful picture of Jesus putting his hands under your arms to lift you up.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
That was just so beautiful, man. Oh, it was just beautiful, brother. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. You, thank you, Lord. Oh, that was such a delight to see. Oh, thank you, Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that was so beautiful, man. That was so beautiful. I hope you can testify to feeling his hands just literally like lifting you up, brother. I had this beautiful, beautiful vision of the Lord standing behind you and putting his hands on your arms to lift you.
Thank you.
Oh, man, it was so beautiful. It just made me so... Oh, brother, I want to tell you, this is really incredible that this happened. I want you to know that it was when did you have your dream? April 8th? April 7th and April 8th, Lisa and I had this really weird thing happen. The quick story is that on April 7th...
So this doesn't, just testifying, this doesn't, Michael doesn't get this type of thing.
No, this isn't do like... You? No, this is something new that's kind of happened.
Yeah. It's a beautiful thing that the Lord's done to encourage you.
We were in Cocoa Beach and Lisa was struggling so much. And I was struggling with her struggling and just me struggling too with the difficulties of us being in this situation for so long. And we had been sleeping on the floor because our daughter was in the one condo bedroom that we were there. And we sat on our little bed on the floor and we prayed, poured our heart out to the Lord. And suddenly, while I was praying, I literally had my eyes closed and I had this vision. It's like, I don't even want to call it a vision. It was like I was able to see in the spirit that Jesus Christ, I've never had anything like this happen, that he was standing beside us. And I came up from the prayer and I looked at Lisa and I said, Jesus Christ is with us. He knows. He's here with us, honey. He's literally here standing with us. Here. He's standing right here beside us. He is with us. Mm. I said this.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me his presence to encourage us.
Mm.
Then that night, Lisa, tell about the dream that you had.
So I had this dream and I've never had a dream about... God or Jesus standing...
Baby, could you hand me that?
There's not much left in there. God or Jesus standing in front of me, speaking to me. I've had God dreams, you know, that there's an interpretation, but this was literally Jesus standing right in front of me. And he was saying that basically we only had a little bit more to go, like one more...
Kind of major test.
Turn in the road
before
he was going to deliver us. And... I think that's when all that self-pity and all those few months that I was going through, feeling the way I was, just vanished. I think it was just so encouraging and just felt so loved by Father for that dream. He obviously knew I really needed it. You know, I was at wit's end.
Mm-hmm. Past wit's end.
Yeah. And he obviously knew that I needed it. He needed to strengthen me because I was about to break. Well, I was on the point of breaking. And so that was just gorgeous. That was such a refreshing.
He lifted us up with his presence.
Yeah.
You know, both of us.
Refreshed my spirit.
One night after another. Mm-hmm. And so, brother, what just happened, you know, I trust that you will... testify to having been lifted up, or if not, if it's for shortly in the future, you will be lifted up.
I also thought just a few minutes ago about the movie His Only Son. I thought maybe that could be a really neat movie for him to watch. When you just talked about how when we were praying, you felt Jesus' presence standing right next to us.
Yes.
It reminded me of Abraham when he was crying out to the Lord before he had to sacrifice Isaac, and he felt like he was forsaken, and yet the Lord was standing right there as he turned around at the, you know, the cameras showed you that he was that close to Abraham.
So yes, absolutely amazing.
His Only Son.
Brother, if you haven't seen that movie, you guys have got to watch it.
Yeah.
It's called His Only Son. It's about Abraham.
We've watched it probably Isaac. Five times.
More than that. I mean, we went to the movie theater twice to see it, sweetheart.
Yeah, true.
Brother, it is absolutely a beautiful movie. It's one of our favorites. Yes. I mean, we watch it over and over. It's been so encouraging. This couple did an incredible job playing Abraham and Sarah. I mean, amazing. And they just helped to bring the emotion of what they went through and the pain of the long suffering and waiting. So, brother, I'm going to be quiet. I pray in Jesus' name, you just receive the blessing. I absolutely believe in faith that I see Jesus Christ lifting you up, putting his hands to lift you up and strengthen you. And if it hasn't happened already, brother, it will happen. Believe it by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep us posted. We'll say bye for now. We love you and we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank you for listening so long to our message. Bye-bye, my brother.
Bye-bye.
See ya.